Checkpoint Intimates. You are here on Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one on a particular gaming topic. My name is Luke and I am joined by the one, the only, the Edie.
Yeah, that's me, the Edie.
The Edie. I'm just going to put that in front of your name whenever I talk about you now. Or to you.
The Edith sounds more impressive. Edie is my more well-known name.
This is true. And thanks for joining. And today we're going to be talking about the cost of video games. Not so much like, you know, complaining about it, because, yeah, games are expensive.
A little bit complaining about it.
A little bit, but also just, I guess, how the cost of a video game can impact a consumer decision in terms of whether they purchase a game or not, and how sometimes games can be priced in such a way that they almost make themselves not really something people want to spend money on at all because they're too expensive.
That's right. You know, you gotta, and it's the same with every kind of product, no matter what you're selling. You have to price it correctly because, you know, people might be happy to spend money on your item, but they're not, only up to a point, you know. They're not going to spend what they think is too much money for your product.
Exactly right. You know, people, no matter how much we want something, we're like fickle people, you know.
Yes.
We don't want to spend more than we have to on something.
Yeah.
Even when a game releases nowadays, like a AAA title, we all shop around to find the best price. You know, is it cheaper on like JB Hi-Fi or Target or EB?
Yeah.
Like, who has the cheapest cost?
Yeah.
So we can get the best deal. And sometimes if a game isn't cheaper on day one, if it's just like that bang, $89, I'll just wait. I'll be like, I don't need to pay for that today.
Yeah. You know? Well, I have a tiny anecdote about this in that when I wanted to buy Detroit Become Human, I did not want to spend the full $100 on it because I did not feel like I should pay for it when the normal cost for video games is more like $60 to $80.
Sure.
If it were $80, I would have considered it. But I just waited until it was on sale.
And why did that game in particular make you think that, you know, you didn't want to invest that much money in it? What about it? Because I know you've played it since and probably have changed your mind, but when it released and it was coming out, what made you sort of go, nah, that's too much for me?
What for me, it was just that it was different to the other games that I feel were similar in how expensive they were to make. Like, sure, this game had a lot of fancy effects, but so do most games, honestly, and it wasn't a special edition or anything. So to see the majority of games being $70 to $90 and seeing this game for $100, it felt wrong to me. I felt like I was being cheated a little bit. I wasn't happy with it. So.
Yeah, and I guess that's a big part of purchasing decisions with games is you do instantly compare it to other games on the market. Like, you can't help but do that. So part of the reason why we're talking about this is Ashen released yesterday, and it actually was one of those cool things where they just dropped it basically straight away. So they were at the Game Awards and they said, we're available now, go and buy it. And the weird thing is I went to look at the price of this. I went to look at the price of the game thinking, I want to buy this.
You went bug-eyed when you saw that price.
Yeah, because I played it at conferences and thought, this is a cool-looking indie. I want to invest in this. And I jumped on the Xbox website and looked at the price. $59.95.
$60.
Yeah, $60. Now, this is an indie game, right? And I can't help. I know that, like, you know, I shouldn't think about pricing in terms of it's an indie game and it's less than a AAA, because sometimes indie games are amazing and blow us away and are much more enjoyable than some AAA titles. But for me, I thought Ashen would be maybe $40. That's just from what I've played of it, the style of it, the fact that it is an indie game. I thought, about 40.
Even
I'd pay
$40
that.
Can be a little bit hefty for indie games. At least it's because it's not what we're used to.
Yeah. So $60. I mean, that's not a small amount. I mean, the bottom line is for me, I could go to like a video game store now, and for $60, I could get, I don't know, Black Ops 3. Or 4, sorry, the new one.
Yeah.
If again, it's the fourth Black Ops now. You know, I could go and get Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is a great AAA game that came out 2 months ago. Giant open world, hundreds of hours of gameplay. And that's on sale now for like $40, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, like, it's a new title. And to be $60 on day one, it might not seem like a big deal. But for a game that to me doesn't seem to have the same style and size of content, that's a big ask. And now I've gone from keen getting it to like, ooh, I'm going to wait for a sale because that's too much for me.
Yeah, it can be pretty dangerous when, I mean, when you're pricing a product, obviously there's a lot of work that goes into, you know, how many people will buy it at this price?
Sure.
Is it, you know, will we make our money back if we try to price it lower or higher? And there will always be people who will be unwilling to pay the price that you set. But it does, even in saying that, it does seem weird to price this game at quite that much.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's tricky because I do want to support them because I think, you know, I want to support the independent game industry. They've worked on this title for a long time. I like it. I should support it, right?
Yeah, it's an it raises an interesting point in that, in what we expect from indie developers and from AAA, because we expect different price points. We're perfectly happy to pay about $60 to $80 for any AAA game, no matter what it is, because we expect it to be a standard price.
Yeah.
I bought the new Tetris game. I'm blanking on it. Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Yes.
I bought that. That's $60. And for me, I forked that over just because I thought, you know, whatever, I got a couple of spare extra bucks this month.
Yeah.
But I definitely did feel it perhaps wasn't worth that. But part of the reason I was at least happy enough to fork it over to actually buy it was because it was like, oh, it's Nintendo. You know, it's on Switch. It's not exactly an indie game. So, of course, it'd be this much. You know, I expected it. Therefore, I was happy to fork over that cash.
Yeah. And it's the way that I think games change in price as well. You know, when a game releases, you can essentially expect that most games will drop in price pretty quickly. Games don't hold value in the same way they used to.
No.
There are a couple of publishers that do. Like, I think Nintendo is one that they often do keep their relatively expensive price throughout.
Yep.
Because the demand is always there. Rockstar is another one that usually keeps their games at a pretty premium price. Even now, I think GTA 5 is, like, finally, like, $30 or something, which is good. It's been out for, like, you know, 25 years or something. So, I mean, we do expect sales are going to happen and things are going to lower in price. But obviously that means we're taking that money out of the developer's pocket because, you know, we're then giving a lot less and it just means for them it's kind of like a pittance compared to what the time they've put into a title. Like, they might have worked on a game for 2 or 3 years or 4 years or something and then we're getting it for, like, you know, maybe $5 or $10 down the track and it's sort of, you know, it negates that whole process.
Yeah. The other thing that I was thinking about was, it is the question, like, we expect to pay more money for AAA games, but do AAA developers deserve the higher price? Because they are making a lot of their money back through console purchases and through online service subscriptions. They have a lot of revenue streams, whereas indie developers don't have that. So if you think about it that way, it would seem to make more sense for indie games to be priced higher than AAA. But that hasn't been how it's worked out.
At the same time, though, and one thing that doesn't factor in as much with indie games that does factor in when it comes to AAA titles and their publishers is that AAA developers and AAA games, they have, like, a massive marketing budget as well. You know, they spend big on promotion. You know, we see, like, billboards in the streets and, like, posters on trams and TV advertisements for things like Fallout and stuff like that. And, you know, Fallout 76 is probably a perfect example of, like, a recent AAA game that has been well under expectations and made a lot of people very upset. And, you know, if someone said to me, what should I buy today, Fallout 76 for $60 or Ashen, I'd be like, probably Ashen, man, because Fallout 76 is a disaster right now. But that being said, Fallout 76 has the big ads and the billboards and the posters and all this massive marketing behind it. It's totally different. Viral marketing, collector's editions, you know. I think today you can go to a shop and get a copy of the 76 song on a record, like a vinyl record, for free just because. You know, things like that that help with all that sort of marketing and word of mouth stuff. Indie developers and publishers, they don't really do that at all. So I think that paying, you know, your standard $79 to $100 for a AAA title, a lot of that money is paying the marketing team and paying back those big budget expenditures on things like PR and advertisements and stuff like that. So that could be feeding into that cost differential there as well.
Yeah. Did Ashen have any promotional material?
Nah.
Not
I think,
really, hey.
No, Ashton was promoted sort of in-house by Xbox, so at their conferences and stuff. But essentially, no, it's been word of mouth and conferences and expos that's kind of built momentum for it.
Here's an interesting thought. Is it possible that it's Microsoft's influence that has gotten Ashton to that price point? Because Microsoft has been the type of to actually tell their developers, no, you have to charge more money for this. You know, we don't give out those maps or character skins for free. We want you to charge for them.
Yeah,
I can't remember the exact example, but I've heard of a couple of times Microsoft has done this. So
I've heard that too.
It may not always be the developer's decision to. Another example is to put promotional material in their game. Like most developers, they don't really want microtransactions. They don't really want that stuff, and it's the Microsoft or Sony, whoever it is, that tells them, no, we want you to do this.
Yeah. And it's interesting as well, because, I mean, Microsoft, maybe it's that classic pricing tactic where they've sort of said, let's release it at an expensive cost, because then in a month's time, we can discount it.
Yes.
In quote.
Yeah.
Discount it in about a month's time and be like half price. Oh, it's $30 instead of $60. Now I'll jump on. And that sort of 50% off can lure people into thinking it's a good value purchase because it's on sale.
That's
so, I mean, it
true.
Could be like an old school marketing thing as well, where they're thinking, let's overcharge it for the Christmas period and then drop it early next year and people can invest in it.
That's a good point. I would believe that.
Yeah.
Getting it close to Christmas.
Because you never know what they're thinking with that sort of stuff and what the plan is behind the scenes.
And the other thing is, a lot of the cost of making a video game is so hidden to consumers. It's so hard to know how expensive it was to make a game. You can make an educated guess if you see a game like Detroit and go, oh, those graphics must have cost a lot of money because of the motion capture. But even then, that's assuming that you know how much motion capture costs.
Now, there's another layer to this as well, to Ashton, which I just realized as well, is Ashton is part of Xbox Game Pass.
Ooh.
Which means you can pay, I think it's $9.95 a month, but you can pay $1 for the first month or something to try it out.
Uh-huh.
And that gives you access to a full library of games on the Xbox that you can download and play for that subscription price. So I can pay today, instead of $60 for Ashton to buy it outright, I can just pay $9.95 for Xbox Game Pass, and I get the game. And I can play it right now today for a month, probably finish it in that time, and then cancel my subscription.
Wow.
Or I can keep the subscription, which what Xbox would want me to do, is keep that subscription going, continue to invest in their games and their Game Pass moving forward.
That's true.
And do it that way as well. So maybe by Xbox charging $60 for it, people are going to go, that's too much, I don't want to pay that. Oh, it's part of Xbox Game Pass for $10. That's far more reasonable. I'll invest in that.
And it's then a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap. It's that Netflix problem, right? Where it's like all of a sudden you're just doing it every month and you're like, I haven't even watched Netflix for the last couple of months, but I'm still paying for it. Like, damn. So it could be that tactic as well. They're price gouging, knowing that they can hopefully capitalize on people getting the subscription instead.
Yeah. It definitely seems like the closer a game is to AAA publishers, the more expensive their games are.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the rule of thumb. Although I do want to mention, though, that at the end of the day, if you're happy with paying a price for a game that you really want, go ahead and pay it. You know, it's the consumer's job to look out for your own spends. That's what your job is. It's not your job to worry about where is the money going.
True.
Do I want to support this business practice or this business? You can think about those things if you want to, if that's important to you. But, you know, don't get all up in your head about this stuff. If all you want to do is spend that money to play the game, spend the money you want to. Be happy.
There's a reverse of that too, though, because if it's an indie developer, maybe I want to pay the money to support it just because I love them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's recently come up with an Aussie-made game, Big Bash Boom, which the review of that is on checkpointgaming.net right now.
And I got to preview that game at the studio, which was great to visit a good Aussie studio.
Good Aussie studio, based here in Melbourne, super cool. It's a cricket game with a twist. It's a bit funny, like big heads and kind of goofy. It's like the NBA Jam of cricket.
Yep. You of Aussie cricket specifically, which is very cool to see.
Yeah, so it's a very local game. Now, that game's released, and it has released at a full recommended retail price of $89.95. So $90, which is not a small amount. Again, I'm going to get Assassin's Creed for $30. Like, this is a big thing. I think if you're a cricket fan, you'll probably be happy to pay whatever. And I was talking with Colby, who reviewed the title for us, right? And he mentioned to me, he said, you know, it is expensive, but I don't want to make that a focal point of the review. And I said, oh, why is that? Like, because it is expensive and that should factor into whether it's good or not, good value or not.
Yeah.
And he said, because it's an Australian developer and I don't want people to get put off supporting Australian developers based on price. You know, if, yeah, the value might not necessarily be there, but if you like the game, $90 is $90. It's kind of inconsequential in the long term.
Yeah.
And it supports an Australian studio and gives them money to make more games in the future, so they can do cheaper stuff down the track and better stuff down the track. So maybe we should just support them and not ask those questions of, is it too expensive? Like, can I afford this?
Yeah, well, it's such a subjective thing too. Like, I mean, all things about what's good and bad about a video game are subjective for the most part, but especially how much money people will be willing to spend. It's easy to say, oh, it's a bit overpriced for what it is, but that's unnecessarily putting a negative slant on things. It can be, anyway.
And I think value in games is one of those things, because it's one of those conversations that happens when it comes to multiplayer-only games as well.
Yeah.
People get funny about spending the same on a multiplayer-only game that they would spend on a game that includes a campaign with a multiplayer. So this came up with Overwatch when that came out. They were like, hang on, paying full price for Overwatch, or I can go and buy, you know, a Division or something else like that, which is quite expansive and huge and stuff. It feels like it's not enough value. Oh, it's just multiplayer. It's one game mode.
Yeah.
But the reality of that is, if it's well made and you like it and you put the hours in, you get your value for money.
Yes.
I played Overwatch for like a year.
Yeah.
You know, I bought it and I played it for a whole year, more than I played any other game in my catalog. And yeah, it didn't have a single player campaign, but that didn't take away from the actual time I spent on it. And to me, it justified the cost.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are even games that were only $20 to buy that I've spent so much time on that I should have spent way more money. Like, I've sunk more than 200 hours into Civilization 5, but I got that at 92% off.
Right.
Yeah, it was the... oh, my God. I spent about maybe $25 on something that would originally be more than $100.
Yeah.
And I've... And I feel almost bad.
Because you didn't give them
like
the full price.
Like I stole something from them.
Like
sorry.
You owe them, you sort of owe them money.
Yeah.
You're going to post them like $80 in the mail and be like, I'm so sorry, I love your game.
Another example is that the Dragon Age Inquisition DLC Trespasser, which is considered the true end of the game. A lot of people were a little bit upset that they had to pay extra money for something that could have been added to the base game. Because I've played it. It definitely does seem like the real end to the game.
Yeah.
The base game seemed to end too quickly, didn't close up a lot of stuff. However, I was happy to pay that price because I love the game so much. I'd spent more than 100 hours on it. I was like, I got my money's worth for the base game and I'll get my money's worth from this DLC. And I did. And I cried.
Oh, well. And then that's the same with Destiny 2. And Destiny did it as well. When they released the game, you'd argue that it wasn't in a completely finished 100% state. Then a year later, they released the game again with an expansion, but then charged the same price for it as an expansion content. And people went, hang on a second, why am I buying this game again? I've already bought this game. But the changes were so vast and so different that it's sort of, I put more time into it with the expansion that I've gotten than I did with the original, which is kind of crazy. But part of me goes, why couldn't you just make it this good to begin with? But then part of me is like, well, I'm still getting my value out of what I've spent, right? So it's kind of fine. And I think it comes down to, you know, ultimately video games, it's a luxury, it's a hobby, and only you know how much time you're going to put into something. You know what I mean? If you're going to buy a game for $100 and play it for 2 hours, it's probably not worth the investment. But no matter what it is, if you can look at a game purchase and go, you know what, I'm going to spend time on this. I am going to put the hours in. I'm going to get my money's worth out of it. Then it doesn't matter whether it's $20, $50, or $100. If you get that value out of it, you should still purchase that game and support that developer, because it shows that you're willing to back them, and it will help them with their future projects, which you'll probably buy as well. So, you know, don't hold back necessarily.
I think I agree.
Well, that's been a time for Checkpoint Intimates today, talking about pricing of video games and perceived value. Thank you very much, Edie.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next week with more intimate goodness.